The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Let's step into our conversation right now with Miss Nandani Samuel. Good morning to you, ma'am. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm all right. So tell me a little bit about yourself, because this will be the first time we're speaking with you on Freedom 106.5 FM. And welcome.
Thank you. Definitely not the first time, but okay. I am a registered dietitian by profession and also the president of the Health and Nutrition Association by profession, and diabetes educator as well.
Mm-hmm. And so you are the person that, you know, basically tells individuals what to eat. What is that reaction like sometimes? Is it a good thing? Do you get, you know, stressed out?
I mean, I get called the food police is my nickname sometimes, but at the same point in time, you know, majority of persons, what I realize as of recent is that they are accepting, you know, where they are, where they stand, and they are trying to make that healthy approach because, as you know, NCDs and communicable diseases are rising rapidly across the Caribbean,
mm-hmm.
and people are now trying to make that change to eat healthier. So we would see the majority of them actually listening to the advice given.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say amongst Caribbean people, does that have a lot to do with our diet? You know, we are such creative people where food is concerned. The story goes like you could tell if you're in, let's say, America, you could tell if a West Indian cooked the food, if a person of African origin cooked the food, East Indian, Asian. And then there is the European style of eating where we don't taste the food. So does that have a lot to do with it, the way that we spice up our food, the way that we love food?
Well, funny thing, it's actually Caribbean Nutrition Month, and I've been having these conversations so much already since the month has started. The thing about it is that we as Caribbean people associate food with taste,
mm-hmm.
as in enough salt, enough pepper, you know, enough things, seasonings. So when it is simplest things, persons are boiling rice, they put salt in it.
Mm-hmm.
When it is they are doing chicken, they do a lot of fresh seasonings and all of that. So we associate it with taste, obviously. So we have been, you know, it's not about changing the foods that we grew up eating, but sort of altering it to make it a bit healthier than mm-hmm. usual. Something as simple as, let's just say, pilau. Maybe we could reduce the coconut milk in it, or even things like adding fresh peas and beans instead of the frozen or canned ones. So it's like simple changes, yet we are having the foods we like, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I guess reducing the types of oils we use, for example, like stew chicken, we would put a little butter, that kind of thing.
So definitely, I would try to gauge people where they are at mentally in terms of, like, let's just say an 80-year-old person, you can't really get them to change the lifestyle as much as you would like a younger person to. So let's just say they are usually cooking with brown sugar and ketchup as in stewing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you may ask them to decrease it, but there are healthier ways to cook as well as in stewing. Like you could use Ruku or 100% tomato paste to do the same thing, and it usually tastes the same once you add your seasonings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really to try to gauge where they are at and, you know, move them in that right direction. But as we speak about Caribbean Nutrition Month, the theme this year is healthy eating, active living, sustainable diets for the Caribbean. So it's really and truly about promoting health and well-being, because that has low environment impact, that is, because it's culturally acceptable, yes, accessible, economically fair, and it supports biodiversity and food systems, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really and truly to gauge where persons are. But what I would say is that in terms of a Caribbean sustainable perspective, you want to encourage persons to obviously eat more local and seasonal, and it doesn't mean things like, when people hear healthy diet, they automatically think broccoli and quinoa.
Yeah,
or things that are
rice
very
cakes,
expensive.
Boring
and
rice cakes.
Yeah, and brown rice cakes and all those things. They think those things automatically. But what I would say is you want to choose local produce that is in season. So things like our provisions, cassava, dashin, you know. Kalaloo, you could even make kalaloo healthier by reducing the amount of coconut milk. Our local fruits and vegetables are just as nutritious as the foreign ones that are frozen, you know. And plant-based food, sometimes not always you have to eat meat every single day. You could actually get protein from peas and beans and lentils and all those things. So you want to reduce the unhealthy fats, so the added fats. And this comes to the point where I realize persons do not know how to read nutrition facts labels. And that is the starting point of the conversation, because I know we are going to be speaking about snacking today. But in terms of nutrition facts label, how many of us, when we go to the grocery store, would actually pick up a nutrition label and read it? Even when we read it, do we know what we are looking for?
Well, and that's the next point, because looking at the terminology on it, it looks like gibberish.
Yeah, so that is exactly what most of the patients would say. And I know they are advocating for front of package labeling. But that is one thing. But if you don't know how to understand it, then there's another problem.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would say is that when you are looking at a label, you first think the easiest thing to look at is the daily percentage value. 5% or less means low, 20% or more means high. So when it comes to things like sugar, salt, and fat, and you know you're already at risk of chronic diseases,
mm-hmm.
then you may want to stay away or avoid this product. You also want to look at the servings per container and the serving size. Let's just say a pack of macaroni and cheese may have the servings per container may be 2, but the serving size is 1. A lot of persons mistakenly go and eat the entire packet, thinking that the calories would remain the same. In that case, you would have to multiply everything by 2 because you are now eating the entire packet. Similarly, like let's just say an easier example, a pack of cookies with 4 cookies in it. 1 cookie is the serving, but the servings per container is 4. And obviously, some of us are not going to eat 1 cookie. We may eat 4 at the same time.
No, you're going to eat all the cookies in the pack.
Exactly. So there's where we look at the label now. And okay, if the servings per container is 4, then we have to multiply by 4. Because sometimes it may not always tell you the calories for the entire packet, but for one of the items in the packet. So
okay.
Exactly. And another way to also look at it is reading your ingredients list, right? So the first 3 things are what is most often the product. So let's just say you read a juice drink and you see water, sugar, citric acid. You know if this juice drink has sugar as the first 3 ingredients, more than likely sugar is very high in that product. So that's as simple as I could go in terms of reading nutrition facts labels.
All right. Let me engage the listening public for a little bit. TNT, tell me, what are your most favorite snacks? Probably give like about 3. Send that message to 3061065, and that way Miss Samuel could tell you if it is if you're a healthy snacker or a one that needs to change habits, so the food police could tell you what are the things that you need to change, right? But instantly, some of my favorite snacks, you see, like kurma, split peas, pistachio nuts. What do you think of those so far?
So in terms of the kurma, obviously, I always tell people, and I tell myself this as well, because even if somebody sees me eating a donut or a slice of cake, they automatically be like, why did the food police eating those things when, you know, she would tell people not to. But I usually, what I would say is eat things in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about you leaving it out completely in the diet. Because if you think about it logically, let's just say you go on a very healthy diet without added sugar and whatever for the next month. After that, you're going to be craving these things and you would want to eat it in a large amount. So why not try to include it in a healthier way? So let's just say you mentioned kurma.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason not to have it, but I don't expect you to have it every single day. Maybe not have the whole pack at a time, half pack at a time instead. And maybe if it is you are having, usually we classify it as having a mid-morning snack and mid-afternoon snack. Most times, persons eat snacks because it's a small portion of food or drink that is consumed between regular meals, right? And it can be categorized into the healthy ones and the not so healthy ones. So maybe if you'll just say you eat some chips or maybe a cookie or 2 in the morning for mid-morning snack, maybe mid-afternoon you could do something as simple as Greek yogurt with a fruit instead. So it's all about balance, in my opinion, and not leaving out the ones that you love as well. So what I tell people as well, when it is you are trying to plan a healthy diet or a healthy meal, fiber is very important. So if you know you are having a lot of high sugar sweetened beverages or something for some reason, you want to probably increase your fiber intake, because fiber helps slow the absorption of sugar in the body. So I am just going back to my type 1 diabetic kids. When I see about patients like them, what I do is I always try to include fiber in the diet. So let's just say they go to a birthday party and they have to have a slice of cake. Right after you give them some, you know, whole wheat crackers or maybe some cucumbers or whatever the case is. So it's really and truly about balance.
Mm-hmm. Already messages coming in at 3061065. So they're giving you the snacks that they normally do. One person says chocolate products, fruits and nuts. Please don't bash chocolate. Don't say anything bad about chocolate.
Okay. So again, obviously dark chocolate is very healthy. Right? There's no harm in having chocolates or fruits or whatever the case at the same point in time, because if you think about it, one has added sugar and one has natural sugar, but at the end of the day, sugar is sugar. Mm-hmm. And this is where I like to kind of bring in diabetic patients or persons at risk of diabetes, because sometimes we may think, and I've heard my patients say it so many times, okay, I am not going to eat certain added sugar products like cookies and cakes and stuff, but yet you're eating 10 to 15 mangoes at a time in one sitting. So that is where the barrier comes in between. So if you are having things like chocolate, no problem, stick to the serving size. The serving size is usually at the back of the label. Mm-hmm. If it's one block, have your one block of chocolate, but it's not like you're going to have chocolate the entire bar every single day. Fruits and nuts together actually is a very good combination, because the nuts has protein as well as healthy fats like omega-3. So it's going to help balance that natural sugar from the fruits as well.
Mm. Wait, I have to ask you a question. You mentioned mangoes. What is wrong with mangoes? Why I can't sit down and eat 5-6 mangoes in one go?
I would not say I can't. Anybody, obviously we can, but in terms of trying to eat healthier, yes, it's very healthy. It's very rich in fiber, vitamins, and minerals. But in the Caribbean, we have something called serving sizes. Mm-hmm. So the serving size for a mango, for at least for a diabetic individual, may be the face. But what I tell them is that a lot of persons not just going to eat the face of a mango and just throw away the rest or put it in the refrigerator. A small mango at a time could be deserving in my opinion, because what you want to look at is that persons are going to stick more to their routine and the Caribbean foods, yes, but these fruits are actually very also has sugar as well, natural sugar. So when you do it in excess, it's going to have the same response as added sugar.
Okay.
So that is why in that case I wouldn't advise having 5 mangoes at a time, especially those who are at risk of diabetes or maybe have diabetes. You want to stick to things like serving sizes.
All right, so this advice is along the lines of if you are on the track towards diabetes or have diabetes, because I that concept still is something to I guess embrace, because you're saying diabetes is if I eat added sugar. It's almost like if you're taking a spoonful of sugar and eating it. But the understanding that sugars are also present in the foods that we eat is a concept that we need to garner.
To I have
one call on the line. Let's see if anyone has these questions. Hello, good morning.
Special good morning to you, Tuska, and
good
to
morning.
Your special guest. She is speaking good about morning. Mango.
Mm-hmm.
I am a diabetic, and what I will do, I will try to eat half-ripe mango. And when I peel it, I will slice it up and eat it, not really suck the mango. And I will have that. And also, when I'm making kurma, I make it a little thicker, fry it a little more, and don't put any sugar coating to have all the crust of sugar over it. But you'll put a little bit of it normally when you mix in the flour. So in that way, you will not get too much sugar over it, and too much carbs will not get into your body. But you don't have those things too often. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Miss Arima. Miss Samuel.
I actually love what she just said. So in terms of what she explained with the kurma, a lot of persons have been, especially around the Diwali festival and stuff, they have been using like whole wheat flour instead, even things like artificial sweeteners to coat it. And as she rightfully said, you know, you don't have to have a lot. So it's really about moderation. In terms of the mangoes, yes, the half-ripe ones are the ones that are not... You remember the riper fruit is the more sugar it would release in terms of natural sugars. So the half-ripe ones are similar as half-ripe bananas would be a better option, especially if we're looking at persons living with diabetes. The normal persons as well, you want to remember that. Or persons without it, I should say. You want to also remember that excess sugar in the body is stored as fat. And people fail to realize in most instances that we get our sugars from the foods we eat. Foods are broken down into sugars. So if you overdo simple things like carbohydrates in the diet, excess carbs in the diet is stored as fat. So let's just say you eat a whole lot of bread or flour or whatever the case is, and you don't balance it with sufficient protein and fiber, it is still going to have the same impact as if you were to eat a teaspoon of sugar. Mm-hmm. So that is where I think the confusion arises.
So let's take a short break, and when we come back, we could talk about the naturally occurring foods in Trinidad and Tobago that will be appropriate for snacking. Yeah? So let me talking about snacks, and already some of us are pining for the snacks that we know are, that are not healthy, and Miss Samuel is here today to tell us or to guide us into better choices for that snacking urge. Now, I have this question to ask. How often should we be snacking during the day?
Okay, so I always like to look at intuitive eating, right? So it's whenever our bodies feel hungry, obviously. But typically speaking, we have breakfast 2 hours after breakfast. I would say you have a small snack, you know, to keep that blood sugar balanced. And maybe you might feel hungry until lunch. And then have a mid-afternoon snack before dinner. So usually that is the approach I use with certain patients. But then it comes down to some persons have different working hours and stuff. So it depends on... Yes, when your body needs it, when you could actually get a small meal in or a small snack in between your regular meals. But it depends on what we are having. Mm. That is the question, what we are having as our snack.
Right. And the more popular local snacks, cashew nuts, almond nuts, some fruits as well. I have like sapodilla, pomsite, cherries, governor plum.
Yeah.
Those kinds of snacks. Yeah. And on the right track so far?
In terms of snacking, although it's nuts and fruits, as I mentioned before, pawpaw, watermelon, and pineapple, for instance, has the highest amount of sugars. So it's not that we cannot include them in our diet. We want to have like a cup at a time, the measuring cups you would use to bake cake and stuff, where that is like the serving size. Mm. If you are doing nuts, I don't the ones that has the little bits and pieces of fruits in it, I would say it is sort of not use those ones, especially if it is you at risk of diabetes, because those are processed. There are added sugar in those because they have to preserve it. So maybe stick to the more unsalted plain nuts, but of course you're not going to have a pack or two at a time. At least half pack, maybe 10 grains at a time, because that is usually the serving size we look at. Mm-hmm. Although it is healthy fats and healthy protein, remember, excess in the body is still going to cause some sort of response.
Now, the trail mix that you just mentioned with the preserved fruits in it, do you have to stay away from that?
Those things has added sugar. So I'm not saying stay away from it entirely, but of course you want to monitor how much you are having. If we were to choose the healthier option, I would say to choose plain ones.
Okay. But they heavily advertise that as the go-to snack for like fitness people. If it is you're on the go, you know, just grab that trail mix and... Because they put like pretzels and all of those things. And it's
It all comes down, honestly, what I tell people, you always try. Once you read your nutrition facts label and you see what that product actually contains, then you would be able to better understand. Similarly, let's just move away from the snacks and talk about an easier example, like a juice drink, right? Mm-hmm. And most times people tend to think that, okay, juice drinks are healthy. But if you look at the label, you would see some juice drinks actually has more sugar than a soft drink. And there's where, again, it reads what it is in the product. You have to look at that label to understand. And things like trail mixes, I'm not saying that some of them are not healthy market, but then there are ones with added sugar in it. And you would automatically think, because someone says that, you know, it is healthy, all of them are healthy altogether, mm-hmm. especially if it is you have certain body goals and stuff you're working towards, or you are presented with some sort of chronic disease.
Now, going back to reading labels, what are some of the ingredients? If you see it on the label, you just put the item right back on the shelf.
Okay, so I would say in terms of sugar, there are over 100 different names of sugar. So when you see like high fructose, corn syrup, maltitol, sucrose, all those things are like added sugar. When you see when it says you read the label and you see sodium, as I mentioned, sugar, salt, and fat is more than 20% on the daily percentage value. All of that, you would want to say, okay, maybe this is very high in the product according to the nutrition facts label. So maybe I should not have it as much as I want to. So there's no problem in having, you see the thing about diets, it don't work. What works better is having that mindset where we have a proper balance. Because I have seen most of my patients, once they get into that mindset of where they could have the foods that they like in combination with the quote unquote healthy foods is where it works best. So it's really to try to have things in moderation rather than just skipping it altogether.
Mm-hmm. Now, you briefly mentioned drinks. What are some of the drinks we could have along with our snack that would not put us on the bad side of dieting?
So I would say in terms of the drinks, I would say to stick more to 100% fruit juice, of course, water. If it is you are more into the iced teas and stuff, of course, you could use tea bags and not maybe add sugar. You could add cinnamon instead. You could do like flavored drinks. Like I know a lot of my patients like to probably cut up small fruits and vegetables into their water to flavor it because they don't like the flavored water out there with artificial sweeteners and stuff in it. So maybe what we could do is probably stick to those. If it is you're looking more of the milky side, 100% cocoa powder, you can make it into like a milk drink or even fruits and vegetables smoothies, you know. So those are some healthier options, because even though we are speaking about snacking as well, some persons actually don't have the time to snack in between meals. So they end up starving for the entire day until they could actually eat a whole meal, which isn't very healthy. So if they could actually blend something like a smoothie and have it throughout the day, I would say maybe stick to more towards that instead of, you know, skipping a meal entirely.
Mm-hmm. And any final tips you can give in terms of dieting where snacks are concerned? I know that the message is targeted towards people with diabetes or maybe on the way to diabetes to understand sugar intake and so on. But give me some go-to tips. So if it is I get to the grocery and I would like to buy a snack, what would be the right direction?
Okay, so let me just mention quickly the pros and cons of snacking. So you really and truly want a snack because it sustains energy between meals, obviously. It prevents you from overeating in the evening time or maybe in the night time. It supports your nutrient intake. It also improves like focus and mood and stuff. Useful for, you know, when you have an active lifestyle. But then there are the cons of snacking, which leads to excessive calories. And that brings me back to when you go to the grocery store. It can disrupt appetite regulation. It could lead to poor food choices. It impacts dental health, obviously, if you're doing too much sugar and stuff. And then there's the cultural shift from balanced meals. So what I would say, if it is you are to go to the grocery store, when you're looking at your snack, make sure to look at the label first. Even if it is the claims in the front of the package is saying, you know, rich in vitamin E, vitamin C, whatever the case is, still look at the label, because sometimes these claims are saying one thing, but the label, it's usually higher in something else. Because sometimes, let's just say, I have seen products on the market, it doesn't mean to be local or foreign, it could be both, where there are certain claims in the front of the package stating that, you know, they are boosted with certain vitamins and minerals. But when you look at the sugar and salt content in it, it is usually higher in some instances. So look again at the nutrition facts label, your ingredients list. As I mentioned, the percentage daily value, your serving size, and your servings per container. So if it is you are to go to the grocery now to choose a healthy snack, I think once you are able to do that properly, then you could be able to choose a healthy option.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Ms. Samuel, here inside Health Hub, and giving us tips on how to choose that snack so that we wouldn't feel too, you know, too bad about ourselves when we eat in.
Not a problem at all. So, I mean, choose what I will leave my message today is, you know, choose smart snacks. Mm-hmm. It's no harm in having things that you like in moderation, but things like our fresh fruits, we want to also look at the serving size, as I mentioned, for persons with diabetes, roasted or plain nuts, unsweetened coconut water. Again, the serving size would matter. Things like sweet potato chips, boiled corn, ground provisions for meals, even things like homemade smoothie or yogurt parfait, Greek yogurt parfait. That would be better options as healthy snacking methods for us and even our kids.
All right. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next week.
For sure. Take care. You all have a good day.
Bye-bye.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.